Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm,
the second Psalm. The second Psalm. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures, shall we? Let's do that. Lord Jesus, the whole book's about you. We look at you when we look at the books written thousands of years before you. We're so amazed. Would you please open the scriptures to us today and help us to understand your word that you have given us, the Bible? We're grateful to you. Bless the book in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to this. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them with his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up at any moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. An amazing song that was sung at the coronation of King David about 1,000 years B.C., this great, great song. And of course, everyone wondered at it. What happens in that kind of coronation back then, the installing of a king, is that the king would be crowned. The king would be anointed with oil. And the oil was a sign of God's giving that person the ability to fulfill this calling. And then the king would be given a covenant of what he was to do, and then everybody would stand up and applaud and shout, long live the king. Well, for David's installation, this was sung, but it wasn't about David. It wasn't about David because all the stuff talked about in this psalm was not fulfilled in David or any of his lineage up to this moment. It hasn't happened yet. They always wondered about it. 1,000 years later, this Jewish carpenter shows up in the podunk town of Nazareth. Podunk, okay? A nobody. He's baptized at 30, which then gave him the permission publicly to begin speaking about God. And the carpenter starts saying things like, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. What are you talking about? He's saying, the king has arrived. He says extraordinary things. He backs it up by an extraordinary life full of wonderful actions. And then he is murdered and killed by the political people who hated him because they didn't want to give up their power. But that worked right into the hands of God. As the scriptures tell us, this prophet, this carpenter prophet from Nazareth, took the curse of the human race when he died, just as told in Psalm 22. He's raised from the dead. And after this resurrection, and he ascended back into heaven 40 days later, after being seen by hundreds of people after his resurrection, they pored over the scriptures, and they started remembering stuff and seeing stuff. They remembered Jesus talking to the Jewish leaders, and they're arguing with Jesus about the scriptures. And John recorded it in chapter 5. He said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. All they had was the Old Testament. He said, Jesus said, it testifies about me. Then, after his resurrection, he meets two down-and-out friends of his that used to be his disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. They're just bummed and they're walking along. Jesus shows up. They can't recognize who he is. He didn't allow them to recognize him. He said, what are you guys sad about? Well, all the stuff that's happened in Jerusalem. Really, what's happened in Jerusalem? Man, where are you from? What rock were you under? That's in the Greek. What rock were you under? And they said, oh, we hoped that this Jesus of Nazareth, we hoped he had been Messiah, the anointed one, in Hebrew, the anointed. We hoped he was Messiah, but they'd killed him. And Jesus told them, you know, you guys, you got no faith, man. And it says, Luke records it, Dr. Luke, at the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So, five times, New Testament writers quote Psalm 2, applying it to Jesus because it was about Jesus the whole time. It has four scenes in it. It's so interesting. There is a scene on earth. There is a scene in heaven. And also in that scene in heaven, there is this official declaration covenant that's given to the new king. And then last of all, a word of wisdom, a word of warning. Look at it. First of all, there is this scene on earth. It answers its own questions. Why do the nations conspire? The word is literally rage, and it means to growl. Why are the nations raging? Really? Why is the world so messed up? What is this raging that's going on? Also, why do the peoples plot in vain? What are they plotting about? What are they doing? Didn't you see how messed up the world is? You want to know why the world is so messed up? And we should be asking these questions. Why? Why are you so over the top about this issue? What's the underlying cause? Well, here's the cause. The kings of the earth take their stand. The rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. This picture on earth is not really pretty. They are against the Lord and his rule of any kind. Let's break his cords, throw off his fetters. It's very interesting that the freedom that most people talk about today isn't freedom within a society where everyone lives according to common rules so that we don't offend anybody else's freedoms. They're talking about they just want anarchy. I want to do whatever I want. And the nations are raging about it. Raging. They want to break off his cords. They don't want him to be calling the rules. The world is in this incredible uproar because they don't want to submit to the king. That is the basic problem of the human race. That is the war, the spiritual and physical war that's going on within our world is based on that fact that we are fallen people and we do not want to submit to the king. Do you know, God gave us rules so that he could help us be protected from ourselves because we are messed up and we all have a proclivity to do the wrong thing. So God gave us his commandments to help us, not to restrict us so you can't have any fun. Trying to make it so that you have a blessed life. But that's not the way they see it. The scene on earth is a mess. And right now, the nations rage. In our day, they rage. In our day, the abortionists rage. They rage and don't even realize that they're kicking against the rules of God. But then there's a scene in heaven. Okay, so the rulers of the world are taking their stand against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say. Let us throw off their fetters. And what does God do? The one enthroned in heaven, first of all, it says enthroned, literally seated on the throne. Seated means he's the one who holds all authority of all things. What does that one seated, enthroned in heaven do when these clowns talk and act like this? He laughs. Debbie was showing me a video of Stephen Baldwin's testimony he was giving at some church. And when he was coming to Jesus, his wife had already come to Christ. They had this cleaning lady. She would sing the whole time that she was cleaning, singing. And all of her songs were about Jesus. And so his wife said to Stephen, did you notice, Stephen, that all of our cleaning ladies' songs are all about Jesus? Did you notice that? He goes, yeah. So a couple of days later, the wife says, honey, I noticed that you sing and it's beautiful, but you got another channel there? You know, all you sing about is Jesus. And the woman cracks up, belly laughs, loses control laughing and says, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, but you think I'm just here to clean your house, don't you?" About a year later, Stephen's wife became a Christian. About 9 months after that, Stephen's at the end of his rope, about to become a Christian. And he told God, "All right, listen up. This is the way it's going to be. All right? I'm an adrenaline guy." He had 300 jumps skydiving. Why would anybody jump from a perfectly good airplane? I have no clue. Okay? But 300 jumps. He lives on adrenaline, right? He's an adrenaline junkie. "Okay, God, I've done all that. Now you've got to hit me with an experience even bigger than that." And so he was telling his story at Willow Creek Church in Chicago, and he had a long line of people wanting to talk to him, and this little old lady in a walker in her 90s came up behind him and said, young man. He goes, excuse me, dear, I've got a whole line. "Yeah, young man, I've got one question for you." And he turns around, he said, "Yes?" She said, "When you demanded God to give you a greater experience than anything you've..." In fact, he had gone on to say, "God, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to tell everybody you're a liar. I'm pretty famous, and I'm going to tell everybody you're a liar." She said, "When you told all that to God, could you actually hear him laughing?" And she turned around and walked off. I love that. What does the King in heaven do? He laughs. I think of little Valerie when she comes up and she says the cutest stuff to me. "We're going to go get ice cream soon." Ever since they moved back from South Dakota, I told Valerie, "We're going for ice cream. We're going for it." Well, now it has evolved into 5 ice creams we're going to get when we go. 5. I got to save my money, ask Debbie for more and not allowance. We're going to get 5 ice creams. When she comes up and talks to me, I just laugh because she's delightful. In this case, he's not laughing in delight. He's laughing in almost disbelief is the idea of the language. "Are you kidding me? You're going to take me on? Really? I've given you all the evidence. You can tell, you know I exist. You know I'm the creator. And you're going to tell me no? I don't think so." He laughs. He scoffs at them. And then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them with his wrath, saying, "I have already installed my king on Zion, my holy hill." I mean, whew, man, that scared them. They thought they had power. And he says, "Oh, no. The king is already enthroned. And you ain't it." Now, look what the covenant that's given to this king, the son. He says, "I will proclaim the decree of the Lord." This is the king speaking. "He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.'" That is literally, you are inheriting everything. Everything I have is yours. That's the idea of his only begotten son. Not that Jesus didn't exist until he was born. He was not born on earth at the writing of this, but he existed. It's talking about God is giving him the right of firstborn in a Jewish family, which he gets all of dad's stuff. That's what God's saying. You get it all. And then the Lord says, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery." I mean, what a statement. Jesus has all the authority of the Father in heaven, and he also owns all of the nations of the earth. And he's going to demolish the nations someday. And there's going to be one ruler on earth. Jesus. I mean, that's quite a statement. Remember when they were trying to demolish the Silver Dome? Demolishing something, you got to have a lot of power to do that. They brought in the big company, spent all the money to put all those charges around the top of the Silver Dome. And then somebody hits the button and it goes, boom, 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 and nothing happened. And somebody in the control booth said, "Oh, no." Okay? Because now, who's going to go into that building to reset charges, huh? I'm not going. You know, think of what your workman's comp's going to be now. Something happens with that. You got to have the power to demolish something. This king not only has been enthroned in heaven, but given all the authority of the Father, and one day will return to earth and will wipe out the rulers of the nations, remove all of their authority because it's his. I'm telling you, that's pretty scary stuff. Last week we talked about the end, the very end, when God was going to recreate the heavens and the earth. Well, rewind 1,000 years. This is when Jesus returns and takes over the earth. prophesied about. So there is this word to the wise at the end. You ready? Therefore, you kings, if my dad was writing this to these guys, he'd have written, okay, Nancy, be wise. Okay, Einstein. That's what he'd have said. Okay, therefore, you kings, wise up. Wise up. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Give it up. Your authority only comes from him because he holds it all. Serve the Lord with fear. The words serve and worship go hand in hand throughout the scriptures. When the Bible talks about the people of Israel worshiping the Lord, serving was there all the time. Worshiping the Lord isn't just standing in church singing a song. It's doing what God says. Do what he says. Get in line. Get this line. Kiss the Son. You know, the Hebrew people had to just wonder at the Son. And 1,000 years later, he showed up. Kiss the Son. The idea of kissing is submission. Kiss the ring, right? That kind of thing. In fact, the Greek word for worship means to go forward to kiss, literally. Very interesting. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up at any moment. You know, we talk about the love, incredible love that God has for us. But we have to have the balance that he is the all-powerful one who calls all the shots. And he has given this open window of opportunity to the entire human race to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and was raised from the dead. Those who believe are his forever. Those who don't aren't. He who has the Son, Jesus said, has life. He who does not have the Son will not see life, for the wrath of God abides on him. Man, I hate those verses. I don't like them, but they're true. So it ends with this really interesting statement. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Take refuge in him. The Bible talks in the first psalm, opening the Psalter of the Israeli people, of the Jewish people. It talks personally. Blessed is the man, the person who walks in the ways of the Lord, you know, who meditates on his word, who doesn't walk in the way of sinners and all the rest of that stuff. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll bear his fruit in time. His leaf will never wither, and whatever he does will prosper. You want to be blessed? Personally, follow the Lord. For nations, do they want to be blessed? They need to take refuge in him too. For all of us, don't play games with the living God. He is the one enthroned in heaven. I'm going to say one more thing. Your world might be spinning out of control right now. It might just be going nuts. You're in the midst of a world that's raging. I want you to remember at moments like this that king is still on that throne. He's still there. And he has not let go of you. And one day he's going to return and he's going to set it all right. See, it's all about Jesus. There was an old rich man whose wife had died years before. And after his wife died, he doted on his son, who also died at about 12 years old. The old man lived alone for the last years of his life, and when he died, they had a big auction that was run by the old man's attorney. When the auction began, everybody was all excited about the family jewelry, the antiques, the antique cars, the artwork, all of it. The artwork was incredible. The first piece that they auctioned was actually a portrait that was done of the old man's boy. And all the people gathered, and nobody bid on it, except an old ragged man in the back that was the old gardener, caretaker that loved that boy and was heartbroken that he had died. So the old man in the back bid on it for just a few dollars, going once, going twice, sold. And then the lawyer stepped up and said, "The auction is over. My instructions from Mr. Jones is whoever bids and buys the picture of my son gets my entire estate." That's how it is with Jesus. Listen to me. You can get all religious. I'm sorry. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, my mother used to say. It's not in the Bible, but I'm telling you, it's right up there when my mother says it, okay? And I want you to know, good intentions are really nice. But don't you reject Jesus. When he says it, you have to obey him. He says, "Come to me, all you who are wearied. I will give you rest." It's for you. Come to him. It's simple. All you got to do is talk to him. You don't have to do it here. You do it wherever you want to. But you get alone with Jesus today and you say, Lord, I need you to be my Savior. I want you to be mine. I'm lost. I need you. Take my life. Talk to him. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Great old word. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you spoke ages past, 3,000 years ago. Thank you for how relative it is for all of us today. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us as your people to cling to you, the King, over all, and not be moved, as the psalmist said, even though the nations rage, even though the sea is raging around me, we trust you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.